Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What's going on at the Africa Channel? For starters, more people able to see the service, a hefty program development track, and co-producing an original scripted series with Amazon. Chief Operating Officer Narendra Reddy details it all when he joins me next. Last year, we introduced you to Wonderum, a service mixing education with edutainment. We'll check back with this venture next hour and hear what's on tap now, including a Bill Gates-inspired series and special next month. Our guide, production head Kevin Barnhill. Also ahead, Amazon sets its Thursday Night Football cast, Taraji P. Henson's new TV adventure, our classic trivia question, and some random takes. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Then on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Verbal Reason, and Amazon Music, including Vizio Smart TV sets. This just in, happy birthday, Mom, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Welcome to our special Wednesday and Mother's Birthday edition of the program, all about TV's current and future. Boys and girls, top of the hour. Mwah. Again, happy birthday, Mom. Love you always. Happy you're hearing us from where you are with Dad in Florida. And we got a great 90-minute show for you, second free episodes we're doing this week. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and call. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, you can use our chat room as well. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Let's be live with you. Narendra Reddy from the Africa Channel joins us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. When Thursday Night Football moves from Fox to Amazon this fall, Sunday Night Football play-by-play announcer Al Michaels will be on board. The former NBC SNF broadcaster will hook up with lead ESPN college football analyst Kirk Herbstreit in a separate decision. Amazon has hired SNF executive producer Fred Godelli to oversee Thursday night coverage. Godelli will continue with NBC Sports as a consulting football producer. Herbstreit's role with ESPN, including co-hosting College Football Game Day on Saturday mornings, will keep going. As for Sunday Night Football, Mike Tirico now has the play-by-play accountability, working with analyst Chris Collinsworth. Taraji P. Henson has a new TV role in hand. It's content maker for BET Studios. Henson's TPH Entertainment will partner up with BET Studios on new series and made-for-TV movies playing on Paramount Plus, BET and BET Plus, Showtime, CBS, Nickelodeon, and ventures outside of parent company Paramount. Now some quickies. Disney Channel and Disney XD will salute Oscar-winning and nominated short tunes to a special Friday night. VIX Plus, Televisa Univision's upcoming Spanish-language mega service, gained a first-look agreement with Propagate's new Fuego unit this morning. The pack covers scripted and nonfiction content. Long-running Discovery Channel series Moonshiners launches an American Spirit Sister program April 13th. And YouTube duo Rick and Link of Good Morning, their famed, their popular internet radio show, will make a transition to television April 24th with Inside Eats, a new primetime Food Network series. And that is news notes for today. Try believing this. Just 2 years ago, it looked like the Africa Channel was sort of not going to be a network to make it. They had only 4 million cable subscribers able to tune in. Fast forward, and at this very March 2022, the Africa Channel subscribership, people able to view the service on cable and satellite, is nearing 20 million. Plus, they have a production unit, TAC Studios. They have an on-demand channel, which is running on 5 million smart TV sets and devices right now. And they're working on a very exciting group of programs in development, including co-producing an original scripted series with Amazon and Legendary Television. And here to talk about all of that, live from Los Angeles, an area exclusive, the Chief Operating Officer of the Africa Channel, Narendra Reddy. Narendra, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. What has provoked the turnaround from 2 years ago, where now you're ready to crack 20 million people that are able to tune you in?
Well, I would say it's a combination of luck and a lot of hard work. I think also people have realized and are beginning to realize that the world is becoming a smaller a smaller place, and the interest in programs from around the world, particularly from Africa in our case, is gaining importance. The cable operators have also come to the conclusion that they need to recognize the full breadth of the audience that they're trying to reach, and the very face of what is considered Black entertainment itself is changing as the profile of the Black American changes with a greater immigrant input.
What is your channel's mandate, and how is it evolving this year?
So the channel was originally started because a group of investors felt that the narratives of Africa in Western media was not being effectively represented. You either heard about Ebola or Stripe, or it was safaris and sunsets, not recognizing that Africa, the continent, is made up of 54 countries with vibrant culture, music, lifestyle, fashion. And so the channel was largely started with that as a premise, and now it has been in business for almost 17 years, so with a very core and loyal audience. And I think over the years, we have become more focused in presenting that content to American audiences. And then over that time, the 20%, the most recent census revealed that 20% of Black Americans are from a foreign-born, either from Africa or the Caribbean. And a lot of their sensibilities as it relates to entertainment has also reflective of the places they came from, and other channels and offerings in the Black space in America was not meeting those needs. So I think our mandate is essentially to speak to that audience and to the general Black American audience, and then also to just global cultural enthusiasts, people who are interested in travel, in lifestyle from different parts of the globe.
Mm-hmm. When the After Channel was available, where I could see it here in New York, I noticed that there were a lot of shows from South Africa and from other parts of the continent that, in terms of scripted television, were sort of like daytime dramas or daytime soap operas. And it was very interesting to watch, whether it was a classic theme or a contemporary theme, that the shows were done bilingually. You would have the characters sometimes speak English, and sometimes they would speak African. Is that still the case, and how is your schedule formatted? Do you still have a reliance a lot on scripted drama, or do you try to mix it up to have like a mix of scripted, unscripted, news, and so forth?
It's more of a mix. We usually start our day with a live show, a daily morning show that comes to us from Cape Town that's been customized for American audiences. Expresso is the name of the show. That starts our day. And then through the day, we generally have a lot more lifestyle type of programming. And then in the evenings, we have more of our soaps, our films. Weekends is when we have a lot of our movies. We have most recently struck a very big deal with Canal Plus Africa for over 400 of their Nollywood films. And as for people, for your audience that doesn't know what Nollywood is, it's the movie industry from Nigeria, which is prolific in their in the amount of content they generate. So we've done a big deal with them. So over the weekends, you'll be able to see a lot of those types of films. But we generally we try to make our programming a blend of both travel, lifestyle, culture, and general entertainment.
We're talking about the Africa Channel. A network's been around for actually almost two decades, and in the last 2 years, it has really taken off on cable and satellite, nearing 20 million homes. Plus, they have an on-demand channel called Demand Africa. We're going to talk about that shortly. And they have formed a production unit that's into some very exciting development, including a series that they're co-producing with Amazon and Legendary Television. We get to all of that with our guest this half hour on Demography Televised, live from Los Angeles, the Chief Operating Officer of the Africa Channel, Narendra Reddy. If you have a question or comment for him, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have one more of our triple-header shows this week coming your way. It's on Friday at our regular time, speaking East New Pacific. It'll be a 90-minute show, and among our guests, we will have the creator and showrunner of the brand-new video-on-demand series from Spectrum Originals, covering the world of women's basketball in dramatic fashion. It's called Long So Exhale. Raiders showrunner Pam Vasey will be with us. Also, on Friday, Netflix is launching its latest Transformers tune. It's a series that's played more for laughs than for action. It's called Transformers BotBox. Prolific animation producer writers Kevin Burke and Chris Wyatt will be with us. And coming up on Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our lead guest will be from the new CBS bowling sitcom How We Roll, executive producer Mark Gross. That's all coming up Friday and next Monday, Reed Goodies New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Dorenda, a couple years ago, you formed a studios unit to produce content here. How is that going?
Very well. I mean, we have been actually producing content for our own channels, granted in the micro-budget realm, for the last 15 years. And through that time, we have developed a fairly extensive set of relationships with artists on the continent, producers, not just on the continent, but across the globe, specifically focused on African-influenced content. About 3 years ago, we sort of formalized that general production work in under the banner TAC Studios or the Africa Channel Studios, and we have a team based in Johannesburg, South Africa, that sort of oversees some of that. And the sort of marching orders for that studios is essentially threefold. One, all the content that we acquire for our program, for our platforms, whether it's the Africa Channel or Demand Africa, our digital platform, we source it through the Africa Channel Studios. The second function for that, for the Africa Channel Studios, is we're also involved in sort of lower budget productions, reality shows and things like that that we consume on our own platforms. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And then more recently, we're more excited about the fact that we've been using our relationships and our talent to start producing content for third-party platforms, whether it's Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or whoever else. We've just started that. That's a much more recent effort. And because our work had primarily been in the unscripted world, but now we've been moving into the scripted world and we've been developing a slate of very interesting content. Most of the shows that we've been developing are co-productions. You referenced a show that we're doing at Legendary and Amazon. I just have to clarify, that actually is not a show that's being done by TAC Studios. That is a show about, it follows the life story of the co-founder of the Africa Channel, Ms. Paula Madison, and her family, called Finding Samuel Lowe, which the Africa Channel actually produced a documentary, which had won a lot of awards about a couple of years ago. Legendary and Amazon are now working with Paula Madison to create a television scripted version of that documentary, inspired by that documentary. That's where that's coming from. However, we have several other shows in development with wonderful producers. We have a comedy series that we're doing jointly with the producer of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and with our partners in the UK who produce Succession and I May Destroy You for HBO. So we're doing a co-production with them, a comedy series set in the Nigerian embassy in South Africa, for example. Or we have another series that we're developing with Heartbeat, Kevin Hart's company, built around the Zulu Empire. So it's a very exciting time right now because I think stories about Africa are starting to resonate with global audiences. Obviously, Black Panther is sort of what everybody uses as the goalpost for what has been an African-centric story that has gotten worldwide attention. But there's so many more interesting stories that the continent has to offer, and we hope that we are able to help bridge that conversation.
For people who don't know who Paula Madison is, she was one of the former key executives of WNBC-TV here in New York. Then she did diversity for NBC Universal, parent company of WNBC-TV and NBC, the television network. And now she owns her own company, which is one of the owners of the Africa Channel. What's it been like to work with her to get the Africa Channel's vision across to so many people?
Paula Madison is an inspiration. I mean, she is one of the main reasons why I am at this company. She and her family have been incredible supporters of changing this narrative of what Africa represents in the world. Her own journey is very, very interesting. She is her maternal grandparents are Chinese, but she's Jamaican. Her grandfather is Jamaican, and so a big portion of her life has been spent at really trying to find her roots. And so much of what we at the Channel aspire to do is really connecting Americans to their heritage, building bridges between cultures. The story that that Amazon and Legendary are doing, which is her quest for her Chinese grandfather, never knowing whether that family will accept somebody that looks like her. She looks like a Black American. And the fact that she also has a Chinese family is so wonderful, you know, just to have gone with her on that journey when we did the documentary for her. And, you know, and so though Paula is not involved in the day-to-day of the enterprise, she has her own projects in play, as I said, the Finding Samuel Lowe project. She's clearly one of the inspiration and anchors behind what we do at the Channel.
Mm-hmm. How far along is that Finding Samuel Lowe project? Does it look like it's going to go into production soon and try to get on the air on Amazon later this year or 2023? What's the outlook?
Unfortunately, I don't have the details on that project, but my understanding that there's a full script has been developed and they've attached a director whose name I'm not supposed to reveal as yet, so we'll have to wait for them to do that announcement. But it's pretty far along. I think they're pretty far along with it, and it seems like Amazon is very supportive of the project itself.
And what about the other TAC Studios scripted shows that you're looking to do?
So a couple of them were currently being pitched to most of the major networks. The Asylum, which is the project I just referred to you about, the Nigerian embassy in South Africa, we're currently taking it out. I think the pitches are being done peak, and then not just in the United States, but also in the UK. Because it's a very international project. Most of the others are close to being taken out. I think we have about four projects that are being taken out in the next 4 months. So hopefully the next time I come on your show, Simon, I'll be able to announce that we have a couple of these that are on into production.
Yeah. I think you mentioned last week at Byron Allen's Black Media-Owned Upfront that you're also working on a project taking place in L.A., either a script or unscripted show, dealing with a group of, I think it's a group of women who are rediscovering their African heritage or their African roots.
Yes. So that's a reality series that we are filming at the moment for our own platform called African Royale. It's built around this wonderful lady, Abimbola Fernandez, who's the heiress to a Nigerian billionaire whose father passed away in about 3 or 4 years ago. And she actually comes from Nigerian royalty, but was actually born in America to an American mother. Her father was this Nigerian king. And so she's making her life in Los Angeles. And so part of this exploration and this reality show is how she honors her parents' legacy while trying to create one of her own, being both African and American and finding that right blend and finding her place in the world. It's a very important story, I think, for multiple cultural people from different cultures as they make America their home. How do they take the best of what is important to them from their legacy, from their heritage, and incorporate it as they make their lives in the United States? That conversation of first and second generation immigrants is the type of original programming that we try to do on our channel, because it's those conversations that become very interesting.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with the Chief Operating Officer of the Africa Channel, now available in nearly 20 million homes across the country on cable and satellite, Narendra Reddy. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Sal Nadman with you live from New York, 46 degrees at the moment here in the Big Apple. And we invite you in our remaining moments with our guests to get a call going, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. In a moment, we're going to talk about two things. One, a video-on-demand service called Demand Africa, which has been on for some time, and how that is doing, and also about Byron Allen's Black-owned media upfront last week and how that did and how that has impacted the Africa Channel. So stay tuned for that. And we'll let you know that next week we're going to do three more episodes of our program to wrap up March and bring you into April. They'll be on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday of next week. And on Tuesday, one of my guests will be a very rare radio or TV appearance by the president of the Video Advertising Bureau, Sean Cunningham. We'll talk about the state of TV advertising. Why is it that broadcast TV and cable TV have too many ad breaks and too many ads in a break? And is anything going to be done about that? Plus, the outlook for advertising with the Olympics, also the Oscars, which will, of course, be this Sunday night on ABC, and the role of smart TV sets and smart devices and interactivity in the advertising of the future on the tube. That's all coming up Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Sean Cunningham from the Video Ad Bureau right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now, in addition to the Africa Channel, Narendra, you also have Demand Africa. That's your video-on-demand service. Tell us about that and how it's doing.
So Demand Africa is our sort of all-encompassing brand for everything that's not cable-related. So it comprises both of a subscription video-on-demand service and also a free ad-supported streaming service, also referred to called Demand Africa, and which is available on platforms like Pluto and Zumo, LG TV, Samsung TV, and so on and so forth. Our subscription video-on-demand service is offered, in addition to being offered on our own platform, is also offered on Roku Premium channels, and I believe end of next month we'll be launching on Amazon channels as well, the first African-oriented platform on both Roku as well as on Amazon channels. So we're very excited about that. So the subscription service, Demand Africa, is largely to allow people to binge watch tons and tons of African-related programming. We've struck deals with almost most of the major distributors across the continent, and that's offered. And from the moment it has launched on Roku, the subscriptions have been doubling almost every month. It's still a very small channel, but a great trajectory, and we hope to see that same trajectory when we launch on Amazon channels as well. The FAST channel is doing extremely well as we continue to get distribution, as we've seen on Pluto and Zumo and the others, that channel is starting to also get a very faithful audience. And part of the rationale for actually creating a different brand in the digital space is the Africa channel is very much focused more on sub-Saharan Africa, focused on Black American audiences alone. In Demand Africa is much more inclusive and representative of the continent and its entire breadth, all the way from North Africa to South Africa. And so it has a broader audience. The programming tends to skew a little bit younger, and just by the nature of digital audiences. And we're hoping that provides access to the content to people who don't have cable, who don't have a cable subscription.
In recent months, Roku has let it be known that they want to be more of a content player. They have already started to do original content like the Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist wrap-up Christmas movie last year. They've got a new series that will be launching next month. There's also extending the run of some of the QB shows that they acquired last year from short form to long form. Have they approached you about doing a co-production?
No, we haven't. I mean, we will definitely, now that you mention it, we're reaching out to anybody who wants to do business with us. Interestingly enough, the folks that come to us, and these are all, you know, very senior producers, the reason they come to us, and we're a very small studio to start with, because we are able to fund development but not necessarily deficit finance shows. But a lot of the reason they come to us is because of the authenticity that our brand brings to the projects, particularly because the representation of how Africa is in content is often skewed. USC Annenberg School of Journalism recently did a study where they looked at some 700 hours of content across American media, and wherever there was a representation or mentions of Africa, only 14% of it was positive. So people are being very sensitive as they're creating content that is influenced by Africa, that they need a degree of authenticity, and so we play that role. So as Roku opens up its development slate to African content, I'm hoping that we are able to do something with them. They have been great partners with us, both on the SVOD side as well as they've launched us as a free ad-supported streaming platform as well. So they've been extraordinarily good partners with us on the distribution side, and hopefully we'll be able to parlay that into a production relationship.
Yeah. Your company has been involved both last year and this year and last week with Byron Allen's Black-Owned Media Upfront. What do you make of what he is doing, and has what he has been doing opened any doors for you?
100%. I applaud Byron Allen for everything and the stand that he has taken. It's bold, it's out there, and it's needed. You've seen the statistics of the amount of money spent by brands on Black-owned media, almost negligible. It didn't even make the graph, if you saw our presentation. I think there needs to be an attention, not just from a monetary perspective, but also from a measurement perspective. Measurement companies have largely favored large companies that pay their bills, and small companies like ours have, and not just Black-owned companies, but just small companies in general, have largely been left to fend for themselves. And because the measurement systems are what drive brand dollars, they've largely been excluded. So his focus on pressuring brand agencies to really focus on how do you pay attention to Black-owned media specifically, I think it's extraordinarily important. It has, as a result of those, because we participated in the same Black-owned upfront he did last year, as a result of that, agencies and brands have at least started calling us. Now, whether we have actually closed a lot of deals, we've had a few successes. There's still plenty of opportunity, but we always run into that same issue. Well, where's the rating? And it's a bit of a catch-22, because in order to garner the big ratings that are needed, one needs the money for programming and marketing, most importantly marketing. If people don't know that you exist, how do they come to watch it? If you put even Game of Thrones on our channel and people didn't know it was there, it's never going to rate, right? So part of that is slowly working. And by the way, Nielsen is now starting to open up and have conversations with us. They have a multicultural division that's starting to converse with us to see how they can work with us to provide some level of measurement to brands so that they could be a demonstrated value for their investment in our platform. So overall, to answer your question, absolutely, very grateful for Byron for setting up that opportunity for us.
And if you want to know more about the Black-owned Media Upfront, which is a two-day event last week, you can check out my columns on the subject in MediaVillage.com. It's MediaVillage.com, Jack Meyer's great media leadership website. Again, that's www.MediaVillage.com. And by the way, Byron, if you hear this, we'd love to have you on for an hour in this program. We have been trying to get you for a long time, and it's let's make that date. And I'll talk more about Byron and what he's been up to with his Black-owned Media Upfront and other things, and why it was a big thing for his ventures as well. We'll do that in our next half hour. Again, the Africa Channel is now running with nearly 20 million subscribers on cable and satellite all over the country. Check your local and see if the Africa Channel is available in your area on cable and satellite. There's also Demand Africa as well, which I believe is also playing on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And if you want to know more about everything that this venture does, go online to theAfricaChannel.com. That's the Africa Channel, all one phrase, .com. Narendra Reddy, Chief Operating Officer of the Africa Channel, thank you again for spending this last half hour with us. It's been a pleasure all the way. Let's do it again soon, and hopefully we'll hear more about the new programming that your channel and your venture is doing.
Thank you very much for having me, Simon.
It is a pleasure, man. Take care. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye-bye.
Narendra Reddy, Chief Operating Officer of the Africa Channel, joining us live from Los Angeles. Coming up in our next half hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week, and then I've got some random takes for you on Byron Allen's Black-owned Media Upfront, on a couple of musical events taking place over this past weekend and Monday night on ABC and then NBC. Something big I think the Oscars did that they announced yesterday, and maybe some other things too. We'll get to all of that, and also coming up in the hour ahead, we will find out about what's going on at Wondrium, the smart TV educational entertainment service. We will have head of production, Kevin Barnhill, who will join us live from the Washington, D.C. area. All coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Yes, the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tunein.com, or tuneinradio.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific at Sisters United, it's a great show for everybody, whether you are African-American or not. Sisters United, check it out tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best speech are 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-minute Wednesday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, a promo about TV's current and future. Simon, I'm with you live from New Haven, New York. 46 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Another great guest coming away near the top of the hour, and much more ahead as well for you. So if you like, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week. We have three prizes in play and some random takes before our next guest. But first, we have some words from the fine people at Audible.com. You know, Sunday night's the Oscars, and one of the big bets is that Will Smith is going to get a Best Actor Oscar for his role in the hit movie King Richard. Well, in case you don't know, he's got a big bestseller both in hardcover and in audiobooks. It's Will by Will Smith. And if you haven't checked it out yet, you can now with an Audible trial to Audible.com. It's a one-month goodie that may last a lifetime for you. Remember, Audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, that one-month trial I talked about a moment ago, plus free health and wellness information while it lasts, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Oh, and if you're already an Amazon Prime member, great news for you. You get two audiobooks for your one-month trial, including one from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, the best of Broadway or Broadway regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making today, this Wednesday, the day that you discover, by listening to the good stuff, how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. So start listening for that good stuff. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. And remember, Audible.com makes a great gift any time of the year for you or someone you love. Again, for all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Second time we're offering it this week. And we have three prizes in play. The Nailed In Cookbook from Netflix, the 20th Anniversary Blues Clues Notepad from Nickelodeon, which, by the way, will have their performing preview tomorrow at the Palladium near Times Square, and the 20 Years of Christmas DVD featuring the Tabernacle Choir. That's the special that was on last December on PBS and BYU TV with original bonus material. All that could be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the 1960s ABC anthology series presented by Fred Astaire. Name the 1960s ABC anthology series starring or presented by Fred Astaire. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. If you've won previously, not eligible this time around. So remember, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And once again, the question, name the 1960s ABC anthology series starring or hosted by Fred Astaire. If you know the answer, again, this is the email you use, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. If we don't get a minute by the end today, we will post a question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's a UBC Simon TWBT. So in order to win, all you got to do is play in. Do it. Nothing to lose, everything to gain, and of course, all the very best. We have some time before our second guest of the day near the top of the hour, and that is Kevin Barnhill from Wondering. He's the production head there, and they've got some very interesting programming coming up in the month ahead, including a Bill Gates-inspired special called Solving for Zero on April 8th, and then the following Friday, the beginning of a new series, 10-parter, called The Search for Climate Innovation. We will talk to Kevin, who oversaw both projects, about that and about what else is coming up for Wondering, which is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. But first, we do a couple of what I call random takes, short bits on some very interesting topics. Two of them, the first two we'll do, deals with two programs, one a special on ABC Sunday night, and the other a series that premiered Monday night on NBC that we had the executive producers on this past Friday and this past Monday on our very program. Now, on Friday, we had the executive producers and, as it turned out, the directors of that ABC special Sunday night, Step Into the Movies, with Derek and Julianne Hough, Nick Flores, and R.J. Durrell. I had the chance to see the special on Sunday night, and boy, was it a knockout. If you are a fan of classic movie dance moments from great musicals like Singing in the Rain, Chicago, Saturday Night Fever, La La Land, Stormy Weather, etc., you had a ball with this show. Derek and Julianne choreographed it. They put this special together in a two-week period. And what I loved about the show in particular was it had a let's put on a show in 2 weeks quality. At the same time, it had a sort of semi-documentary feel by bringing in some of the people who were involved in those movies, like Rob Marshall, the director and choreographer of Chicago, Kenny Ortega, the director of or the choreographer of Dirty Dancing, later the person behind High School Musical movies for Disney Channel, and Baz Luhrmann, who did one of my favorite ballroom films, Strictly Ballroom, really got that ballroom craze into a whole another gear, and of course was the person behind Moulin Rouge. What was really great about the dance numbers was they were all choreographed beautifully. Derek and Julianne were in top form, and they also utilized some wonderful talents who came in that two-week period to do it. For example, Ariana DeBoom, who is definitely the smash favorite to be the Oscar winner Sunday night for Best Supporting Actress for her breathtaking performance in West Side Story, worked with Julianne to do the All That Jazz number from Chicago. It was a smash, so much of a smash that if some Broadway producer doesn't get Julianne and Ariana to do a revival of the show on Broadway before the year is out, I would be absolutely shocked. With Bob Ryan lots to say a lot. Shock. It was a fafo number. And one thing you know about Ariana DeBoom, if you've seen her work on Smigadoon or the West Side Story revival on film, which she is up for Best Supporting Actress Sunday night, and it looks like she is going to be all but certain to win after having gotten the Golden Globe, the BAFTA, the British Academy Awards, the Screen Actors Guild, and the Critics' Choice Award for that role, you know that Ariana can be a triple threat. She sings up a storm, she dances up a hurricane, and she acts like nobody's business. As those of you who saw West Side Story will see or have seen. Her partnership with Julianne Hough is marvelous. I'd love to see it duplicated on Broadway, or, as we were talking about with Nick and RJ, maybe a stage production, a touring stage production of this special. For me, the best number was the next to last number. It was a wonderful tribute to dance duos. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, Sid Charisse and Gene Kelly, the Nicholas Brothers, and so on and so forth from various time periods. Beautifully done, beautifully staged, a whale of a great number that really tied everything together, and all done to the opening song from La La Land. I never thought I'd say this, but there was a dancer who played the Sid Charisse role. It was from Broadway Ballet. She wore the green dress that you see in that sequence with Gene Kelly. I never thought I'd say this, but this is someone who, I don't know her name. She out-Sid Charisse, Sid Charisse. If you saw the show, you know what I'm talking about. She was absolutely outstanding. Get this person on a Broadway stage or a TV special soon, because this woman is a breakout star. absolutely fantastic. Love her moves, attitude, up the wazoo, great extension, great high kicks, great everything. She lived the part. That's how great she was. I don't know, again, I don't know her name, but I thought she was the sleeper star of the whole thing. And she was in other numbers, too, and equally terrific. I thought that number, which was next to last, should have been the last. If I was playing director, that should be the last number. Because the last number, I understand why Dirty Dancing was the last number. I've had the time of my life. It's a very upbeat number. Kenny Ortega was involved in the making of the number for television and so on and so forth. However, in terms of thematic work, if I was the director, if I was Nick and RJ, I would have put the La La Land number, the wonderful salute to dance teams. That should have been the last number. The only critique I have in terms of directing dance here was the Saturday Night Fever number. I thought that Derek and Jenna Dewan were marvelous. However, the cameraman or camera person made a horrendous 101 mistake. When you do dance numbers on television, you do not cut feet off. You do not cut people's feet off, whether they're on the ground or they're coming off a leap or a jump or a lift or whatever. And too many times in that Saturday Night Fever number, you saw feet cut off in the picture. No, in dance, in doing directing dance for television or shooting dance or filming dance for TV. But that's a real quibble. The show on a whole, I give A+, if I was a reviewer, just marvelous, marvelous work. And again, I hope that Nick, RJ, and everybody involved in the making of that show will consider making it a touring stage production or bringing it to Broadway or off-Broadway. I think if it was on Broadway, it would be a smash. Just plain wonderful. Great crowd for it. And Derek and Julianne, just two marvelous people in the world of ballroom dance. And how they have grown as choreographers has been really sensational. And Julianne is also a triple threat, too, singing, dancing, acting. And it was great to hear Rob Marshall in the All That Jazz sequence refer to both Julianne and Ariana DeBose as very rare examples of triple threat people, and he'd love to see more of those. So great, great work, great thought by Rob Marshall about that. Then this past Monday night, we had the premiere of American Song Contest on NBC, and that show I thought was also super and superbly done. We had the executive producers of the show, and that, of course, was Christopher Bjorkman and Anders Ledoff, and they told us about the show on Monday, an exclusive interview, same day, a few hours before it went on the air. And boy, they were absolutely right. It's a great opportunity for songwriters and for artists from around the nation and from various territories like Puerto Rico to get a wonderful national showcase. And it was live before a live audience. You love live where, you know, you get one shot to do it. And I thought the uniformly all the songs were and the songwriters and performers were up for it. You could definitely get the energy. You could feel the energy. It was really, really great. Way to go, NBC. Way to go, everybody who did the show. And the host, Kelly Clarkson and Snoop Dogg, makes a great team. The show is on Monday nights at 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. It's also on 8 to 10 Pacific time, but it's, of course, tape delay for the West Coast. If you didn't see it on Monday night, get a chance to. It's really, really great. Incidentally, both shows got about 3 million people watching. Step in the Movies, about 3 million people. It's number two in its time period for the night. And the same thing Monday night with American Song Contest, number two as well. And we'll see how that grows starting next Monday night and ongoingly through the finals. If Monday night's show is any indication, American Song Contest is on its way to becoming an annual deal for NBC and for national television. I want to go back to Byron Allen, who we talked about with the chief operating officer for the Africa Channel in our first half hour. First of all, his crusade for African-American-owned media is really remarkable, what he has done in the last year. His first upfront event virtually last year, which was around May, and the event that happened last week, two-day event happened last week. Whatever you think of Byron Allen, and I think he is one of the most unique entrepreneurs in the world of television today, he has a point. And his point is not to advertisers, don't advertise on BET, don't advertise on TV One, don't advertise on Cleo TV or BET Her or a service aimed at African-Americans that is run by people who are not African-American, whether it's companies like NBC Universal, Comcast, or whether it is Paramount, formerly Viacom, CBS, so on and so forth. What he's saying is advertising community, spend money on African-American entrepreneurs who also deserve your support for the television that they're doing, whether it's the Africa Channel or Allen's portfolio of television services and programming, or whether it's Urban Edge Networks, HBCU Go, which we've covered on this program earlier this year and has been acquired since by Byron Allen's organization, Allen Media Group, or new networks that we're finally hearing about. I got to tell you, the Twitter feed, the chat feed had a lot of people from both days, last Tuesday and Wednesday, had an incredible amount of people from networks that we had not known about. And all he's saying is, hey, spend considerable money on these services. They're worth your while. They will get you your audience. And you will have a great role in the African-American community if you do. Byron, by the way, is coming from a position of strength. He has, in the space of his career as an entrepreneur in television, he covers every base. Started with syndication in the 1990s. He has more than 40 shows now in production run by broadcast stations all over the country, including the more than 20 stations that he owns and operates right now. It was Allen Media Group, more on the way. He now runs 7 or 8 cable networks, including the Weather Channel and Justice Central, which has his courtroom shows and other legal programming. Now he has smart TV sets and smart TV devices covered with multi-channel bundles like Local Now and Sports.tv. And he also has multicast networks that are also getting into smart TV distribution, like the Griot.tv. One of the great things, by the way, about this year's Black-owned Media Upfront is that Allen's organization and the other companies like Africa Channel that were also showcasing with presentations, they had more specifics to say about their programming. The first time out, they didn't. This time out, they did. They combined the big picture, the macro picture, with the micro picture. Here's what's coming up. Personally, I have been waiting over a year to know more about the Griot TV, which started as a multicast channel, now is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and is now running its own bundle of on-demand and channel content. And finally, they delivered by showcasing their shows, current and future. Incidentally, we're going to reach out next week to one of the key people at the Griot TV to get them on this program. It was also nice to see that the upfront was used as the launching pad for the Weather Channel in Espanol, the long-awaited Spanish-language version of the Weather Channel, produced here in the United States, that will be launching in early May, timed with the 40th anniversary of the network, of the Weather Channel, the parent mothership, if you will. It's going to be a very interesting day when that launches. And by the way, coming up also, Weather Channel Plus. So I think that was great that Allen, it really encouraged not only his ventures, but the other ventures being there in that event, to talk more specifics so that the advertisers knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, here's what these people are producing currently and in the near future. Also, that was really nice, was the creation of an ongoing information clearinghouse about not only these services, but other services that African Americans are launching on television in various ways, whether it's an individual series or a network or a fast channel or a smart TV multi-channel bundle, the Black-owned Media Exchange, BOMX. By the way, the website is up and running, BOMX.com, and it's a great, great deal. I think it's a wonderful thing and long overdue. So now, whether you are a content maker or whether you're an advertiser, an ad agency, or a media buyer, you now have an ongoing information clearinghouse to know what's going on. It's going to be very interesting to see what impact this media exchange and this particular two-day presentation has on the ad industry's relationship with African-American-owned media, especially for our purposes, television media. And I hope that next year that Allen will do this in person. Personally, I think he should do a three-day event, a day for his ventures and then 2 days for other ventures. I promise you, given what I saw in that chat room, there's a lot of ventures, particularly new ventures, that want to be part of this. And I think they will see this media upfront as a way to go. It'll also be interesting to see whether some of those people get into the digital content new fronts that it will be taking place in early May, or decide to do their own thing between now and mid-May, when the upfront event season, which is now in person, concludes. Oh, one more thing about Byron Allen. Last Wednesday, at the beginning of his presentation, Allen used it to unveil a bombshell, a multi-billion dollar lawsuit against Nielsen, basically alleging that Nielsen consistently undercounts the African-American audience for programming and for his services. It's very interesting that Nielsen has not publicly responded to this. They should, in some manner. Because if you know Byron Allen, you know that he has had some legal experience before, right, in terms of lawsuits, to try to get clearance for his services on cable and other places. He currently has a lawsuit with McDonald's. He charged that they are one of the 10 worst advertisers in terms of dealing with African-American-owned media. That lawsuit is still pending. And he's not playing around. He wants to see some action. We'll see what Nielsen does. But I'd like to see Nielsen at least acknowledge that, hey, there's a statement here and we need to make it. This is not the first time, incidentally, that Nielsen, the major rating agency, has had an issue with media that caters to the multicultural audience or minority audience. Back in the 1980s, throughout that decade, Nielsen had ongoing issues with SIN, then later Univision, about undercounting the Latino audience. Ultimately, that got settled. And it's helped Univision and Telemundo and other services. So let's see if Nielsen can work some magic and do something on behalf of African-American-owned media, television, magazines, print, internet, et cetera. And we'll keep you posted on the story. And once again, Byron, we'd love to have you on this program. We'll do an hour with you covering all your bases and the whole issue of African-American-owned television services. So we're waiting. We're going to keep at it. We'd love to have you on, so let's communicate, all right? Finally, the Academy Awards are coming up this Sunday night on ABC, executive produced by Will Packer. You haven't heard much about what the Academy Awards are going to do. And that leaves people like me wondering whether or not we are going to either have the kind of debacle that took place last year, where almost less than 10 million people saw the ceremony live, or whether we're going to see an upgrade where we're going to have a ceremony where we're going to have it be what it truly should be, a way to celebrate the people who win the Oscars for the best in film and to honor the art and to empower people to see the art. Or are we going to have a ceremony that wallows in America bashing, political posturing, inside baseball, et cetera, et cetera? Well, late yesterday, ABC made an announcement that gives me hope that it will be more toward honoring the art. One of the big things about last year's ceremony, that for the very first time, the best song performances were cut off the show. They were put on a pre-show that nobody watched. Well, somebody must have told the Motion Picture Academy and Will Packer, because the best song performances are coming back. They will be on the show, at least four of the five nominees, including, we understand, Billie Eilish doing the No Time at All theme song, which I obviously think will win the Best Song Award on Sunday night, and Beyonce doing the song from King Richard from a tennis court in California. Kudos to you, ABC. Kudos, Motion Picture Academy. Kudos, Will Packer, for making that call. I hope this is the beginning of what we will see on Sunday night on ABC, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live to all time zones. because personally, this is a make or break Oscars year. If this show does not dramatically improve its viewership, this show may very well, a year from now, be presented on a Netflix, on a Hulu, on a Disney Plus, but not on broadcast television. So, way to go in getting the best song performances back where they belong. Let's hope the rest of the Oscars live up to that call. Last year, we introduced you to a service that dealt with information, education, entertainment called Wondrium. And Wondrium, a year later, is still going strong on smart TV sets and smart devices, and they're broadening their horizon. Next month, they will be doing a special and a series based on a best-selling book by Bill Gates. Joining us live in the Washington, D.C. area is the production head at Wondrium, who has a key role in the two projects I just mentioned, Kevin Barnhill. Kevin, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure. Where does Wondrium stand right now?
So Wondrium is it's a nonfiction entertainment service. It's on demand. We're available on all of the smartphones, smart TVs, smart devices. So for a low monthly cost, you get access to over 1,000 video streaming courses on our platform, Wondrium.com, any topic that you could possibly imagine. And then with the new service, we're also rolling out a lot of these specials, like the documentary Solving for Zero, based off of Bill Gates' book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster, that's coming out next month. And so really, we're about telling some of the best educational and nonfiction stories, and we work with the best experts in the world to do that.
What series or what topics seem to draw, particularly in the last year since we had Wondering featured last, what topics seem to draw the most interest from viewers, either in social media reaction or email or letters or viewership?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. So I would say that the number one draw for our platform is our history content. We have a ton of great history content. In the last year, we've released at least a dozen history courses. One of my favorites is called In the Footsteps of Vincent Van Gogh. Our presenter is Jean-Pierre Isbout, and he travels all over Europe literally following in the footsteps of Van Gogh, examining his life, his art, what led him to attempt to take his own life. And it's a biography piece, a 15-part biography piece on Vincent Van Gogh that shot almost entirely in Europe. It's been hugely popular with our audience. Another topic that really resonates with our audience is what we call lifestyle, better living content. We did a couple of series, one called Social Media 101, where our host, Pei Catrone, walks you through all the different social media platforms and all the different types of different content that you can make yourself or use and become more of an informed user of social media platforms. That was really popular for us. And then another one was our complete guide to smartphone photography. Now, we've done a lot of photography courses over the years, a lot of them with National Geographic photographers, but we didn't have something for, you know, call it the last 4 or 5 years with the smartphone revolution, where some of the best pictures in the world are being taken on a phone. And so we did an entire course with our host, and that one has been hugely popular as well. So history is a big draw, lifestyle is a big draw, and then obviously with Solving for Zero, science is a big draw for us.
In the next half hour, we'll talk to Kevin about the Bill Gates-inspired programming that is coming up. First, it will be a special called Solving for Zero. That's going to be on Friday, April 8th. And the following Friday, the beginning of a new series, The Search for Climate Innovation. He will be joining us live from the Washington, D.C. area. If you want to have a conversation with him, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We will get to that and maybe some other things too, including maybe one more time with our classic trivia question, after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, streaming.com, and TuneIn Radio at tuning.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you're a Star Trek fan, or you want to be one, check out Trek Talking. Tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, Trek Talking, one of the few Star Trek podcasts around on a weekly basis. That's tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, or tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Tomorrow Be Televised, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. And once again, happy birthday, Mom. It's March 23rd, Mom's birthday. Tom Abbott, I'm with you, her son, live from New York. Great to have all of you aboard for the special Wednesday edition of the promo about TV's current and future. 44 degrees at the top of the hour, very cloudy skies here in the Big Apple. And joining us now from the Washington, D.C. area is the production head of the popular smart TV distributed entertainment and educational series, or service, I should say, WonderM, Kevin Barnhill. Kevin, how did this Bill Gates, oh, by the way, if you have a question or comment for Kevin, make a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/television. Okay, now that that's out of the way, Kevin, how did this Solving for Zero special and then series come together?
Great question. So Bill Gates, if you didn't know, has been a longtime supporter of the teaching company, then The Great Courses, and now Wondrium. You know, we've been around for over 30 years, and he's been a huge fan of us. For a long time, he owns at least 100 of our courses, and we've always looked for a project to work with him on. And so when he was getting ready to release How to Avoid a Climate Disaster last year, he was looking for partners to produce, and then he approached us and said, "Hey, if I wanted to turn this into a video course or a video project with The Great Courses, now Wondrium, what would you guys want to do?" And so we got an advanced copy of the book, we read it, and obviously if you've read the book, you'll see. It's perfect for television. There's so much great data and information, and so we thought it's a no-brainer to turn this into a course. So we did. But one of the really interesting things about the book, as you go through it and you go through each of the individual chapters, there's a big subtext to it where, look, we've got a lot of different places where we need to lower emissions, and in order to do that, a lot of innovation is going to be needed. And that theme comes up throughout the book. In order to get to net zero as far as it relates to energy emissions, more innovation is needed. In agriculture, more innovation is needed. And so we thought, how cool would it be if we found a lot of the innovation that's currently happening with scientists, and then we follow them. And we do a documentary that's basically inspired by the book, but that, around this whole concept of innovation is needed. And so that's with the documentary. We have five scientists and companies in five key areas that we're following that are doing that innovation. I got to tell you, some of these stories are pretty great.
Give me an example of one of them.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys know this or not. This is something that I learned as we were doing a lot of the research and reading Mr. Gates' book. But cement, global cement production accounts for 10% of global emissions, which it's about, you know, a little over 5 billion tons of CO2 released into the atmosphere every year. If cement were a country, it would be the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases. And so when you think climate change, you don't really think about cement, but it's a huge issue. And if you think about developing countries and the developing world, they basically have to kickstart their economy by using huge amounts of concrete and steel. You can imagine that's a huge issue when it comes to solving climate change. And so we found a company. They're based out of Ireland, but they operate in Europe, mostly in France. They're called Ecosem, and they have created one of the world's first ultra-low carbon cements, and they're on track to create what they believe could be the first no-carbon cement, which would be incredible. And so it's a huge innovation, and right now their cement is being used on some huge construction projects in Paris, most notably the Grand Metro project. And then the Olympic and Para-Olympic Village for the 2024 Olympics. And so these guys are, you know, they've been in the cement and concrete industry for years, but they're leading the way as far as innovation goes in cement, and they think that we can do it. And so here, there's 10% of global emissions that if we can solve cement, that's 5 billion tons of carbon that we can pull out of the air. And so I was really inspired by that, and that's one of the companies that's featured in the documentary.
Yeah. You know, Kevin, when television had its first decade or two of existence, what was called educational or edutainment programming at the time basically had one format, the lecture. And how good the lecture was would rise and fall on two things. One, the lecturer, and secondly, what the lecturer did, whether it was using a blackboard or graphics or a map or a globe or whatever. For example, for years, CBS had a show called Sunrise Semester. It was nationally available. It was on like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday. And they had a man named Floyd Zuli, who was their chief lecturer, and he had a great presence of the language. He had great camera presence, so on and so forth. And a lot of people, believe it or not, tuned in at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, to hear him. On the religious side of things, you had Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, who had his show Life is Worth Living opposite the great comedians Bolton Burrell's various variety shows. And the thing about Fulton J. Sheen was he had this great booming voice, great presence. He had humor. He had great command of the audience, great presence of the camera, knew how to pace himself. And in public television, a lot of the early shows were the daily educational shows. Again, lecture format or classroom format and so forth. When you're doing now shows like this Bill Gates 10-part series, how do you figure to illustrate the subject and make it, you know, great for the audience to see, not dumb it down, but at the same time not make it boring or not make it, you know, like, if this is a terrible lecturer, forget about it. People are not going to watch.
Yeah, no, well, the formula, you nailed it. The formula is still the same, right? You have to marry a winning presenter with a winning topic, right? And so that's what really makes for a great educational experience. And so what we did for this series was, one, we had access to Mr. Gates. And so we spent about 3-4 hours interviewing him and getting his take on stuff. But then we also went and found dozens of other experts, MIT professors, Stanford professors, policymakers in Europe, farmers and policymakers in Africa that could present the content in a way that was engaging. And so really each episode when you go in, there's anywhere from 3 to 5 different presenters in each area. There's some voiceover to stitch it together. But what you're getting is presentations from some of the top minds on the planet as it relates to climate change and climate change science. And so we have a little bit about OneDream is that we've got a production team of about 85 folks and some of the best writers, animators, video editors, footage researchers on the planet. And so we're able to take that material and find the best footage, find the best images, design the best motion graphics or charts or maps to go with the presentation. And so it's almost like a television-style experience, but you're learning. And I just think it's really true to, I think, that original the original mantra, which you just outlined, which is people want in-depth informational, educational content. You don't need to talk down to them. But then how do you illustrate that in a way? And I think that we have a winning formula with this series. And honestly, it's a format that we use in a lot of our other courses as well. And so I think, you know, we've taken some of these subjects and we're really able to bring them to life with what we're able to do, not just in production and pre-production, finding the best experts, but then what we do in post to really bring it to life.
For this series, going in, were you able to get, was there a lot of footage, a lot of animation, a lot of graphics, a lot of you know, things in action you were able to get beforehand so you didn't have to do as much original production, or did you have to find with this one, go ahead and produce?
So there is a lot of existing data, right, for all of this. If you read the book, it's full of tons of data that was researched heavily and charts and graphs that work really well for a book or a textbook. And then there's also, the process of making cement, the process of nuclear fusion versus nuclear fission. How does carbon capture work? And so we're able to take illustrations and diagrams and things that we find and use as reference and then create original graphics and animations that, are all in the right style, right? And so each show has its own style. And so we were able to draw on existing material, but then transform it in a way that fit the style of the show. But then also, you want to design a different graphic for a textbook or a written publication than you would for television. And so we're able to really bring a lot of those charts, graphs, maps, things to life by animating them. And so, yeah, we had some good places to start from the references that we were provided. But we had a really great team that was then able to take those references and then turn them into something really special.
Solving for Zero, the special based on the Bill Gates book, will be on Wondrium Friday, April 8th, and then the follow-up 10-part series, The Search for Climate Innovation, will begin the following Friday, April 15th. Wondrium is the educational service available on smart TV sets, and smart TV devices. We are talking with Kevin Barnhill, the production head at the service. He joins us live from the Washington, D.C. area this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. And happy you're with us along for the ride, too. Simon Abbott with you live from the Big Apple, where it is 44 degrees at this very, very moment. Cloudy skies, too. And we're expecting maybe some rain later tonight going into tomorrow morning. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Make that phone ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Third of our triple header episodes this week coming your way on Friday. And joining us among our guests will be the producers and writers of the new Netflix Transformers animated series. That's more comedy than action. It's called Transformers BotBots. We've got very prolific people in the animation genre. That's Kevin Burke and Chris Wyatt. Also on the program, the creator and showrunner of the new Spectrum Originals scripted series about the world of women's basketball, Low, Long, Slow, Exhale, creator and showrunner Pam Vesey. And don't forget, next Monday, our lead guest, the beginning of another triple header week on the program, the executive producer of the new CBS bowling sitcom, How We Roll, Mark Gross. That's all coming up Friday and next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And before we go further, I want to give a shout-out to the folks at Catalyst Story Institute. They do the annual TV festival. It used to be in New England. Now it's in Des Moines, Iowa. That's now available in Des Moines, Iowa. And they're going to be here in New York for a special social at Haskell Greens over in Midtown Manhattan. So congrats to the Catalyst Story Institute for doing a nice in-person event here in New York. With hopefully some wonderful series producers will be there along for the ride. They're doing it in association with the TV Academy of Arts and Sciences, and I'll be there in a little bit. So looking forward to that event, and hopefully we'll be covering Catalyst later on this year, in person for the first time in several years since the start of the pandemic. Kevin, what other projects have you got coming up for the next few months at One Room?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm really excited about the programming that we've got coming. So in April, we've got Solving for Zero, the documentary, and then Solving for Zero, the Search for Climate Innovation. And then in May, we have a series coming called Decorate Like a Designer with Jonathan Adler, who is a designer and, lifestyle television personality. So that's a 13-part series that's coming out in May. Right now, I have a good friend of mine, Darius Aria, who's doing a program called Exploring the Roman Empire, where he is he starts in Rome, but he goes to Morocco, Spain, Greece, Jordan, Serbia, Croatia, just to explore the reach and the influence of the Roman Empire across three different continents. So that's filming right now as well. And then later this year, we've got a follow-on with Jean-Pierre Isbouts, who did our Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. And then he also did a series for us called The History and Archaeology of the Bible, which released last year. But he's doing a show called Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus, which he's filming on the ground in Israel. So we've got a lot of really great productions coming up this year. A lot of them are very different than our traditional courses, but these are ones where we're talking to new types of experts, and we're going places, right? So we're sort of breaking that wall of the classroom down, and we're going to places and seeing how history and some of these other things can come to life in the field.
I believe One Room is still a subscription service. If so, how does it work? And as many talk about maybe partnering up with advertisers or ad agencies maybe to do some PBS-style underwriting of programs.
Yeah, so we are a subscription service. Like I said, all of our content is on demand, right? And so we have over 1,000 courses that are currently up. So for a monthly, quarterly, annual cost, you can access all of those courses on your devices. But then we also have, and so we do a lot of content that the Great Courses branded or One Room branded. But we also work with other partners like National Geographic, the Smithsonian, the Culinary Institute of America, Scientific American, to produce other content. So those are some of our production partners. And then, we are 100% subscription-based, or people can buy our products on direct. So we actually don't do any advertising, underwriting, or any of that. We're 100%, so we're sort of self-funded in that way that we're direct-to-consumer. But we're always looking for other production partners or places that we can find or license content. So we have a lot of great documentaries that we've licensed from Kino Lorber, a lot of great TV shows that we've licensed from Magellan TV. We also have a great partner that we've been working with for a long time called Craftsy, that they develop a lot of hobby and educational content for hobby and leisure. We also license content from dance content from CLI Studios and meditation and mindfulness content from Commune. So we have a lot of partners that we work with to get the content that we do, but we produce all of the most of the content ourselves, or we license it directly from other providers.
When you deal with hosts or lecturers or people doing the courses, what's the vetting process like to make sure that, you know, they're relatable to people and also the information they present is accurate?
That's a great question. So we have actually a really exhaustive interview process for our prospective presenters. So we have a team of, they're called talent recruiters, and they scour the country to try to find, and not just the country now, the world, now that we're doing a lot of global productions, to find the best talent. And then we take that talent and we put them through an audition process and then we work with them to develop concepts that we then pull with our audience and prospective audiences. And then when we have a winning presenter and a winning topic, that's when we get started. And so then we team that presenter up with a writer, content developer, and then a television producer, essentially. And then that group works as a team for a year and a half to develop the outline for the course, develop the lectures, work on performance, and then work together in the studio, and then ultimately add the visuals in post-production. So, when we work with presenters, they have a lot of great content already that they've developed from their years of presenting. But then what we can do is we can take our team and we can supercharge that content for a television-style audience. And so really that process takes anywhere from, 12 to 18 months. And then obviously we're always on the lookout for new presenters and new experts, but that's typically how we do it.
At the end of the programs, do you do any takeaways for the audience, like recommending books or other source material that they can look at their leisure?
Yeah, so throughout the lectures or lessons, we'll be referencing some of the source material that the presenter has drawn from, either in on-screen graphics or in audio or when the presenter talks about that. But each of our courses also comes with companion supplemental materials. Sometimes it's a guidebook, or sometimes it's a workbook if you're taking a foreign language course, or sometimes it's a music book if you're taking how to play ukulele, piano, guitar, one of those. And then in each chapter of those, for each lesson, there's suggested readings and there's suggested articles. So, I mean, that's another way where that's a reference material that we provide in either a written book or a PDF form that everybody who subscribes to the service or buys the course has access to. So then there's a ways for them to go deeper even after that. But all of that material is included in our guidebook or workbooks.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Kevin Barnhill. He's the head of production for Wonderium. That is formerly known as Great Courses. That's the edutainment and educational service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices for a monthly, or I believe, is it both monthly and annual subscription fee?
Yeah, we do monthly, quarterly, and annual.
And Kevin is with us from the Washington, D.C. area this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Your question or comment, our name, Mitch, with our guest. Make a call, 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And we will be with you Monday, Tuesday, and Friday of next week. And coming up on Tuesday, one of our guests will be, in a very rare interview on radio or television, the president of the Video Advertising Bureau, Sean Cunningham. Before that, he's one of the top advertising executives in the nation. We'll talk to Sean about VAB, how it sees where advertising is going on television, everything from interactivity to dealing with clutter on broadcast and cable networks, where you have, for a lot of people, they see it as too many ad breaks, too many commercials within each ad break. Will that ever change? The role of smart TV sets and smart devices, mega content services like Peacock, HBO Max, Disney Plus deciding to launch an ad-supported version of its service. We'll get to all of that with Sean Cunningham of the Video Ad Bureau next Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here, one of our triple-header episodes next week on Tomorrow Be Televised. Kevin, we are very clearly in an interactive TV era. We are now starting to see more and more interactive projects show up on television, whether it's interactive fitness services like Peloton and Beachbody, or services like Food Network Kitchen, where you can call up recipes anytime you like on the screen. You can also order products and services through the television set. And coming up next week, Next Friday, Netflix is launching its latest interactive project, a daily cartoon game show called Trivia Quest, which will be running for at least a month, and we'll see how that plays out. It's a very interesting interactive animation effort. What's the game plan with Wonderim in terms of doing interactive television in the education entertainment realm?
Wow, that's a great question. I think we've talked about it internally, and we've played around with different concepts, and one of the things that we have right now is we have a companion website for Wondrium called Wondrium Daily, where we post daily content for both about our courses and our series and specials, but also content that's relevant to today, where we can draw some conclusions from our content. And so those contain quizzes and some other things like that. So if you're looking for some brain games, check out Wondrium Daily. And then, who's to know what the future holds for us? I mean, if one day I wouldn't say no if someone came to us and pitched a game show or something similar to that. But we do know that, people want to be active and learn. And so we're all ears to something like that. But, it's not something that we currently do, but we would totally be open to it in the future.
Do you see at some point doing it, given the fact that there's not only more interest in interactive education, we have telehealth now, projects like Maya MD and Independo, which are now on LG Smart TV sets, which allow you to communicate with your doctor, get health and wellness information, order pharmacy products, things like that. But also there is a growing number of smart TV sets and devices that allow people to use their voice as well as their remote control to control the TV set any way they want.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no doubt that it would be cool. I mean, if you think about the thousands of courses that we have, I think it's ripe for some type of trivia game or some type of interactive experience, whether it's a daily piece of trivia or whether it's a whole show dedicated to trivia. I think the content is there, We've been a company that creates courses, and we've been a company that creates television shows. And it's not to say that we wouldn't do something like that. We just haven't done it, but it's definitely a great idea and one that we're definitely exploring.
Yeah, the whole idea of choose your own adventure, for example, you could have different pathways. For example, take a look at this, at the topic for, Solving for Zero, where every episode could have different, pathways. And if you want to go this pathway at a certain point in the program, click, say yes, or if you want to play a game at some point, or play a ask a trivia question, or communicate with somebody else watching at the same time, it sounds like endless opportunities.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about it too, I don't know if you played SimCity back in the day, right? But like, as you're building a city, the bigger it gets, the more problems you have and the more things you have to solve. And so creating, more houses, okay, now I got to create a grocery store or food or transportation for them. And I think every one of those things that we do contributes greenhouse gases in some way or another. And so, creating some type of video game or some type of interactive experience where you have to make decisions to get your city or whatever you're doing to net zero emissions could be super cool.
Have you done any collaborations with public television stations or PBS or American Public Television or any other distributors of public programming?
We have a great relationship locally with WETA, which is our PBS affiliate here in the D.C. metro area. And they've aired several of our programs on WETA, WETA World, WETA Metro, and we have a great relationship with them. And we're open to doing more with public television. We even have some folks in our group that came from PBS. So we have some great relationships with WETA, but we don't currently have any co-production plans or anything like that with any PBS affiliates.
The name of the service is Wondrium. It's subscription-based, and you can find it on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over. And for more details about the service, all you got to do online is go to www.wondrium, that's W-O-N-D-R-I-U-M, wondrium.com. And again, the program that we've been talking about most of this past half hour or so is called Solving for Zero. The special premieres Friday, April 8th, and then the follow-up series Solving for Zero, The Search for Climate Innovation, 10-part series premieres on Friday, April 15th, one Friday later. Once again, www.wondrium.com. Kevin Barnhill, the production head of the service, thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you aboard this past half hour and change, and all the very best to you and your colleagues in making the service go and grow.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Take care. All the greatest. Enjoy the rest of the week. Kevin Barnhill, production head of Wondrium, joining us live from the Washington, D.C. area. And before we go, let's give you one more chance to answer our classic trivia question of the week for three great prizes. Name the ABC 1960s anthology series hosted, presented by Fred Astaire. Name the 1960s ABC anthology series hosted by Fred Astaire. Won several Emmy nominations and some Emmy Awards in its two-year run. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. We don't get away by the end today. We'll post the question tomorrow on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Facebook at Simon Apple Bama, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Want to thank all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, our final triple header episode of the week is Friday, and we will have on the program the creator and showrunner of the new Spectrum Originals and ultimately BET series Long, Slow, Exhale about the world of women's basketball, Pam Thiessy. And from the new Netflix series that premieres on Friday, Transformers BatBots, producers and writers Kevin Burke and Chris Wyatt. Next Monday, from the CBS bowling sitcom How We Roll, executive producer Mark Gross. And next Tuesday, the president of the Video Ad Bureau, Sean Cunningham. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast, available 24/7, great guests all the way, on everything from Apple Podcasts, the iRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, including Vizio Smart TV Sets, Apple TV, iTunes, Speaker Podcasts, and other great places like Verbal and Reason. Love to hear from you what you're thinking about where TV is at and where it's going. We're thinking about our guests today and what they had to showcase. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. However you respond, I respond back to you in 24 hours or less. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. Once again, looking forward to catching the folks from Catalyst Story Institute later this eve at Haswell Greens over in Mid-Manhattan in Nueva York. So looking forward to a great social for 2 hours this wonderful Wednesday night. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Sig Soderbergh is head of content. Website services provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Natara Spakis is our web coordinator. Tomorrow we televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. For all details, audibletrial.com/televised. For tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We're back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. And once again, happy birthday, Mom. Love you always and forever. Thanks for always tuning in and everything you have to say. It always is great. You and Dad both. And between now and Friday, whatever you say and do, we hope you make it great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Check your medical situation. Find about the antiviral pills now available to you at local pharmacies all over the country. And then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well. Stay tuned and happy birthday, Mom.